Her experience as a second grade teacher has led her to become an education activist. For Emily Kaplan, kids really do come first. Emily, you taught at and left a no-excuses school in Boston. Proponents of these types of school would argue that this is the best approach for low-achieving children of color and poverty. How could you leave?
Certainly a lot of people say that. I think one of the more dangerous arguments that people make is that there are some unfortunate aspects of this type of teaching, but ultimately it's necessary to, quote, close the achievement gap. And I think inherent in that kind of statement is a lot of racism and a lot of assumptions that Black and brown children of color, especially those living in poverty, aren't entitled to the types of privileges that we don't really think of as privileges, like recess and time for exploration and kindness that children in mostly white, upper middle class and wealthy suburban schools enjoy. So I think many people describe it as it's what they need. I think others more dangerously describe it as it's the best of what's available.
Yeah, it also seems to suggest that they have a lot of faith in achievement, this idea of achievement, right? As though achievement was like something separate from all those other things you mentioned, like recess and the freedom to recreate, let's say.
Yes. Exactly, yeah. And that achievement can be measured exclusively by test scores, yeah. Which I think is a very erroneous assumption.
Right. Well, it's an erroneous assumption. In fact, you go on to point out in the curmudgeonication piece, well, actually in both, the Edusheister piece and the curmudgeonication piece, the fact that there is the predictability of high achievement from these no-excuses schools actually doesn't seem to translate into future success, particularly when the kids get into high school or middle school and high school.
Yeah, that's absolutely true in my experience. I think not only are high test scores, especially in the early grades, not predictive of future success, but in the ways that I think matter. But I think that there's also a negative correlation there. I think that the methods that these schools use to, quote, achieve in these ways, especially for very young children, actually inhibits their ability to develop the skills that they will need to be independent thinkers, kids who advocate for themselves, kids who think outside the box. If you're only drilled on how to achieve in a very narrow sense, then it actually limits you in the ways that matter down the road.
Well, talking about recess, I like this little part you said in here as the students, and this is, quote, some of the things the students have to say every morning, 200 of them. You can imagine these kindergartners and first graders and second graders. Today is a step on my path towards success, they must say, and you point out that the kid next to you said his path to recess. And that might be a better and more appropriate response for a small child to be saying.
Absolutely.
That they should be on the path to recess. Jed?
Absolutely.
I can't agree more. You know, yeah, it's. I was going to ask you, Emily, what it feels like being an educator activist, and I put the two words together deliberately there. I mean, has the articulation of these awful things that are going on? Has that enhanced your identity as being an educator?
I hope so.
Yeah.
That's a great question. The fact is, I don't really know yet. I'm still a relatively new teacher, and I'm certainly very new with writing about my experiences. So, you know, I hope so. I hope that I'm able to see the bigger picture through writing and through dialoguing with people who have read my writing. And also, I think more importantly, me reading a lot of what's been written by other people who know a lot more than I do. That opened the door for me to even know that there was a whole world out there of people who think really, really intelligently and critically about these phenomena. Yeah, so I want to be part of that conversation. And I hope that my experiences teaching in a lot of very different settings will, in some very small way, you know, contribute to the very important dialogue that's going on right now about urban education.
So the facts are, right now then, you are currently a second grade teacher at what we would say is a regular public school?
At a suburban public school.
Suburban public school. And it was last year. And was last year your first year as a teacher in a second grade in a no excuses school?
Yes.
So you went from no excuses second grade 1 year to second grade in a suburban regular school this year. You've now moved into this activist in your writing. You've been featured in Curmudgeon. You've been featured in EduScheister. I like the fact, too, that you mentioned that you've also been featured in an indirect way by somebody writing about you in Huffington Post, an entire blog about why you're wrong. That's the best applause any not just emerging, but any activist and writer blogger can
shows
get.
You touching nerves.
Yeah. So the future, from what I understand, Emily, from good friend of ours, Matt Damon's mom, is that you're going to be doing some guest blogging for Defending the Early Years, and that you're going to be doing some of your own. And as a way to say thank you, I also want to just tell you that Jed and I at Busted Pencils, if there's ever a piece that you think, you know, hey, it might fit good with what they are doing, we would love to feature any type of guest post from Emily Kaplan, the new emerging activist teacher of the week.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much. I love the work that you do, so that would be a huge honor. Thank you.
Jed, and what do we tell her?
Keep busting those pencils, Emily.
Thank you.